It's David Knight.
Welcome to Real News on this Thursday, August 24th, 2017. I'm David Knight, your host, and I'm going to go straight to the news because we have some interesting news from Newsweek. They have a headline article, Trump will pardon Joe Arpaio because of Alex Jones's InfoWars and Matt Drudge. We're going to be talking about that, and they don't think that's a good thing. We think it's a good thing, and we think it's a good thing that we have influence with this, but we're going to tell you what's behind that as we get into the program. Also, the White House today has issued guidance on transgender military ban, reports the Wall Street Journal. They say the military is going to stop admitting transgender people, and for current transgender troops, the Pentagon should consider a service member's ability to deploy when determining whether to expel them. The memo also instructs the Pentagon to stop paying for transgender troops' medical treatment regimes. So we're going to stop paying for the sex change operations. It's Private Benjamin. You're going to have to go somewhere else to get this done. Some U.S. diplomats in Cuba have been diagnosed with serious health conditions, show medical records. They say those who are serving in Havana, many of them, have been diagnosed with conditions as serious as mild traumatic brain injury, with likely damage to the central nervous system. They're saying, we don't know how this happened. Well, maybe they could contact DARPA and the NSA, Michael Aquino. Remember, we've had situations where they've talked about using ELF or other means to harm people, to try to affect their thoughts, to scatter their brains and so forth. That's been weaponized research that's been done by DARPA and others in our own government for quite some time. And this is the first time, I guess, it's been used against Americans in such a large amount. Remember the Navy Yard shooting where the guy carved on the stock of his gun, this is my ELF gun. He believed that he was being treated like this. And, of course, everybody said, tinfoil hat. Well, no, it's not tinfoil hat, quite frankly. They have spent hundreds of millions of dollars just in the last couple of years of budgets to do mind control research for DARPA, for the Pentagon. They have the Brain Project. They're very much into controlling the mind, and they're not using clumsy techniques like LSD, like the CIA used to do a long time ago. They said the diplomats complained about symptoms that were ranging from hearing loss and nausea to headaches and balance disorders after the State Department said the incidents began affecting them beginning in late 2016. A source familiar with these incidents say the officials are investigating whether the diplomats were targets of a type of sonic attack directed at their homes, which were provided by the Cuban government. Meanwhile, in politics, we have Judge Roy Moore, who is involved in a runoff election with Luther Strange in Alabama to replace Jeff Sessions. And Judge Moore won handily in the primary, but now there's going to be a runoff. There was a tweet back and forth where he said that he supported President Trump's efforts to eliminate the 60-vote filibuster threshold in the U.S. Senate. Luther Strange just came back and said, no, I don't support that. Luther Strange has serious ethical issues beyond the fact that he's part of the Republican establishment. He was appointed by the governor to take the place of Jeff Sessions when he went to the White House, went to the administration, become attorney general. And now as part of this special election, we have a choice between somebody who stands with Trump and somebody who is going to be a thorn in his side with the GOP establishment. Very interesting as that is developing. Also, Reuters has now made two unbelievable screw-ups on the Robert Lee ESPN story. Remember, we talked about that yesterday. ESPN went over the top with political correctness, bowing to this, saying that they're going to remove a commentator named Robert Lee, who is, by the way, Asian, because they didn't want to offend people at the University of Virginia. So Reuters comes out and says, this is what they tweeted, actually. This is the fake news, the PC insanity. They said, Confederate General Lee, namesake. So these Asians, there are so many Asians who are named Lee, that he was his namesake. And then they did another one. They doubled down. They said, Confederate General Lee, doppelganger. I don't think so. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with some real news. Not that news. We'll be right back.
It's the real news. from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
On Thursday, 8/24/17, I'm David Knight, and as we were saying in the introduction, we have a headline story about InfoWars on Newsweek. They say Trump will pardon Joe Arpaio because of Alex Jones's InfoWars and Matt Drudge. They said, as President Donald Trump reportedly was preparing to issue his first pardon to convicted Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the notoriously anti-immigrant Arizona sheriff was crediting a bucket line of right-wing bloggers and broadcasters for getting his story to Trump's attention. The 85-year-old son of Italian immigrants appeared on an Alex Jones InfoWars broadcast via Skype on Tuesday and thanked Jones and other right-wing media members for getting his story to the president. He said, I want to thank you, Alex, and your staff, Jerry Corsi, Roger Stone, for bringing this story out and reaching the president. I supported him from what, 2 years ago, he said, at the same forum that he did yesterday. And I'm with him, and I'm with him to the end, said Arpaio. And Jones said, as I said in the article, it's Dr. Corsi's writing the article, it's Matt Drudge picking it up, and the president saw it in Drudge's Twitter feed and then said, is this true? I haven't heard this on Fox. And he called Fox News host Sean Hannity up and said, why aren't you covering this? Good question, because on the day that this happened, the day that the indictment came down from the judge, I covered it on the nightly news. It was a Monday. Going back, let's see, what was the date on that? June 27th, 2017. As soon as it came out, and of course we did more detailed articles on this, we've been on this quite a bit. All of us have been covering this here at InfoWars. But on that particular day, I thought it was ironic that we had just had the Justice Department say that they were partnering with sheriffs to do exactly the same thing that Sheriff Joe was doing. And we'd had President Obama and the judge say, we don't care what the immigration laws are. Border Patrol, stand down. And Sheriff Joe, you stand down too. And of course, in your jurisdiction, a sheriff has a lot of autonomy from the federal government. They are the supreme law enforcement in a particular jurisdiction. At least that's the way it was under our Constitution, not under the government that we have now. They don't recognize that. But that's the way that it should be, the way that it is legally. And so to have on the same day they're announcing a partnership with Sheriff Joe and then announce that he is being possibly going to be sent to jail for 6 months because of criminal contempt by a judge, and that judge denied him a jury trial. He tried to contact the Justice Department, and he couldn't even get anybody there to help him get a jury trial. So I'm going to play just a little bit of this excerpt back from June 27, 2017. I want to talk about what's going on with Sheriff Joe, because this is also something that really needs to get some publicity. We really need to contact Trump and the Department of Justice. Yesterday, we had a criminal trial that opened against former Sheriff Joe Arpaio to build his highly touted deportation force, they point out. Trump is now reviving a longstanding program that deputizes local officers to enforce federal immigration law. That was what Sheriff Joe was doing. And now we've got an activist judge who is trying to send him to jail for criminal contempt of this judge's order not to enforce immigration law. Arpaio's lawyer said the former sheriff is charged with a crime for cooperating with U.S. immigration officials. Say, under the Obama administration, it was a crime to cooperate with immigration officials. It was a crime to patrol the border. That's why the Border Patrol was so strong and outspoken in its support of Donald Trump. But what happened is we had Sheriff Joe's officers, they say, targeted immigrants who used fraudulent IDs to get jobs. Why would we want a sheriff to do that? I mean, we don't want to, if somebody comes into this country and violates the law, a foreign citizen comes here and criminally trespasses and thumbs their nose at the law, we shouldn't investigate that. If they use fraudulent IDs to get jobs, we shouldn't investigate that either. And if we have a sheriff... All right, so we're going to stop that there. If you want to see that, you can find that on Alex Jones's Real Alex Jones YouTube channel. That's feds continue to purge and destroy those who oppose the globalist agenda. Maybe that's why it wasn't noticed there. But let's get back to the news here, because I want to talk about what's happening with the fascist with political correctness. And I was absolutely amazed to see Penn Jillette. And when Penn Jillette starts kowtowing to political correctness and apologizing for his sarcasm. I mean, he's known for that. That's his, that's the core part of his act. When he starts apologizing, I think we're losing it. I want to play a couple of clips from John Cleese as well as John Carlin, what they have to say about political correctness, not only destroying comedy, but also being a kind of fascism, pretending to be manners. That's what George Carlin pointed out in 2004. If only he could be around today to see the insanity that we've got going on right now. And take a look at this story here. The violent leftist group plans to shut down a Berkeley march against Marxism. So now these are the people who are anti-Marxism. And the people in Berkeley who are anti-fascism are going to march against the anti-Marxism people. So maybe, if we're going to call these other people anti-fa, maybe we could call these anti-Marxist anti-ma. So we could have anti-ma versus anti-fa. The only thing is, as I explained the very first day of this radio show, they want to tell you that these people are extreme opposites of each other. They are not. Ma and fa are in the same family. They're authoritarians. And we need to understand what's really going on here. These people have exactly the same tactics. You would not be able to tell the difference if you live under a country that is governed by fascism or one that is governed by Marxism. The only difference is the lies that they tell you to get control of your lives. That's the only difference between the two. And we have to understand that these people who are fighting each other are really just trying to start a civil war. They're trying to take away our freedom of speech. And a key part of that tool is political correctness. Also, the United Nations has issued a rare early warning. They say it looks like there's civil conflict coming to America. We may have to do something in the UN. Well, there's a statue that I think we really should take down. There's one statue I really want to get rid of, and you'll find it at the United Nations. When I visited there, the time I visited the United Nations was as a representative for a gun group. We were doing videos because at the time it looked like they were going to try to stop the importation and exportation of guns crossing state lines. That was simply going to be something that they were going to use to enact gun control here in America. It wasn't really going to stop the trafficking of firearms. And so we went there and I saw that statue. If you want to take down a statue, take down that statue. That has no place in America, not even in New York. But they're preaching about alarming racist trends. Now, it's really just insanity, because when we see the terms racism being used now, it's not being talked about real racism for the most part. And it's something that is really, I think, one of the saddest developments here, because there is real racism. But if you use it like the F word against anybody that you don't like, you call them a racist, you call them, I guess now, a fascist, a white supremacist, you say that they are xenophobic and they are misogynist and they are, the whole list that they run down at these rallies. If you just throw these things out as a litany against anybody, it's become nothing but a cuss word for the left. And there are real racists out there. And there is real racism. It's not going to ever go away, folks. It's just like alcoholism. It's not ever going to go away. It only got worse under drug prohibition, under alcohol prohibition, and drug addiction is not going to go away either. It only gets worse, and we create ancillary effects when we have a drug war. So you're not going to get rid of these negative human consequences. And you're also not going to find anybody that is absolutely perfect. So when the Washington Post editorial here by Dana Milbank says, today it's Stonewall Jackson, tomorrow it's going to be Michael Jackson, then Reggie Jackson, then Jackson Hole. That's the insanity that we're looking at when we talk about the Robert Lee commentator. Are we going to get rid of Bruce Lee, Tommy Lee, Spike Lee, Harper Lee, Bobby Lee, Lee Jeans, Lee Majors? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ah!
News. I'm David Knight on this Thursday, August 24th, 2017. We'll get back to the news here in just a moment, but before we do, I want to remind you that we still have the BuzzFeed Mega Special at InfoWarsStore.com, and we still have many very popular items that have not sold out but are selling out quickly. Silver Bullet is selling out very quickly because it is 66% off at $9.95. Also, Knockout, selling out quickly, 50% off. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formulation, so you can get the same effect that you would with vitamin B12 injections, but just putting a great-tasting liquid under your tongue, that is at 55% off. So is Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. And we have some smaller discounts on some bigger ticket items, which amounts to a very big dollar savings. We have things like the Alexa Pure Pro water filter and the Alexa Pure Breeze water filters. Those are air filters. Those are 25% off. So that results in a very big savings. Also, our InfoWars Select storable food. And remember, we have free shipping now and everything at InfoWars as part of this sale. So it's a great time to try these things out. It's also a great time to get something like InfoWars Select Storable Food that is very expensive to ship. You can get that 30 to 40% off with free shipping. And if you use a coupon code GOBLIN, you get an additional 10% for 50% off InfoWars Select Storable Food. And that's food that will stay fresh for 25 years without preservatives, without GMO. It's made in America, and it is resealable after you seal it up. Great packaging, all American, all natural foods, and you can get it for 50% off and free shipping. Take a look at the site at InfoWarsStore.com. Take a look at all the many fine items that are there, the massive discounts we have, and remember, it is free shipping, and that is not going to last very long. I want to get back to political correctness here. And one of the things that we're talking about with this absolutely beyond belief insanity that we have with the announcer, the Asian announcer named Robert Lee, taking him off. It would be funny if it wasn't so oppressive, because that's really what we're seeing here. This is a form of oppression. And it's really not funny anymore when we start seeing this spread to everything, all the different monuments. And remember, they mocked Donald Trump when he said they're going to be coming after Jefferson and Washington next. And it was only not even 24 hours that, amazingly, the guy who was one of the stars of Hamilton, who was himself also a slave owner, and one of the worst slave owners, as a matter of fact, but he said, no, Jefferson and Washington are on the table. And so I just want to remind you of something that was very heinous that JFK did. You know, we've all got our heroes, right? Many people on the left, especially the Democrats who are submitting to this insanity, love JFK. So let's look at something that JFK said once, and you will not believe what this guy said in support of racism. He said, I want to tell you how welcome you are to the White House. I think this is the most extraordinary collection of talent, of human knowledge, that has ever been gathered together at the White House, with the possible exception of when Thomas Jefferson dined alone. Someone once said Thomas Jefferson was a gentleman of 32 who could calculate an eclipse, could survey an estate, could tie an artery, plan an edifice, try a cause, in other words, in court, break a horse, and dance the minuet. Whatever he may have lacked, if he could have had his former colleague, Mr. Franklin, here, we would all have been impressed. Can you believe that John F. Kennedy praised a white slave owner? Talk about white privilege, and he's in praise of that? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So take down the statues to JFK as well. And, you know, rename the airports, the roads, and everything else. And here's how sad the situation is getting. Besides the absurdity of the Robert Lee story, the Asian man that Reuters told us was named after Robert E. Lee, I mean, there's just so many Chinese people that are named Lee. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, they said his namesake was Robert E. Lee. And then they said that he was a doppelganger for Robert E. Lee. They actually tweeted that out on Reuters. So that's the real news from Reuters there for you. That's why we call ourselves real news, because it is real news and we're not politically correct. And Penn Jillette used to not be politically correct either. But now he seems to be falling into this as well. Everybody's getting so sensitive. And I just have to say, a two-pin? I mean, really, are you going to cave to this stuff? He went on with Bill Maher, and this is always a program. I mean, Bill Maher used to have a program called Politically Incorrect. I don't know if that's still what he calls it. He now calls it Real Time. But it used, Bill Maher's program used to be called Politically Incorrect. I guess that's why it no longer exists. But as Fox News reports, Penn Jillette goes on with Bill Maher, and he called Newfoundland a euphemism for stupid. And it was a stupid joke. It wasn't a funny joke, but it's not anything that he should have to apologize. But he kept tweeting it out over and over again. He said in just one tweet alone that I was wrong 5 times. Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Please forgive me. I bow to the gods of political correctness. So now we got even Penn Jillette having to apologize for political correctness. Seriously? I want to play you a clip of John Cleese. My wife and I, when we took a trip, we listened to his book, his autobiography. It's called So Anyway. And he narrated it, and he basically talked about his career, how he grew up, how he became a comedian, the early days before Monty Python. But then when he finished it, he talked about political correctness. I'm not going to have a clip from that. I want to play a clip where he got out and talked about political correctness. And, you know, John Cleese is not somebody that would agree with us on politics. But maybe we can agree, like Voltaire, that we will support each other's right to speak freely, especially when it comes to comedy. Can't we at least make jokes? I guess not. Not in places like Berkeley, that used to be the bastion of free speech. Now they're just a bunch of bastions. Let's play this clip from John Cleese. He says political correctness can lead to an Orwellian nightmare.
I'm offended every day. For example, the British newspapers every day offend me with their laziness, their nastiness, and their inaccuracy. But I'm not going to expect someone to stop that happening. I should just simply speak out about it. You know, and sometimes when people are offended, they want somebody to just come in and say, right, stop that, to whoever is offending them. And of course, as a former chairman of the BBC once said, there are some people one would wish to offend. I think there's truth in that too. So the idea that you have to be protected from any kind of uncomfortable emotion is one I absolutely do not subscribe to. And a fellow that I helped write two books about psychology and psychiatry, he was a renowned psychiatrist in London called Robin Skinner, said something very interesting to me. He said, if people can't control their own emotions, then they have to start trying to control other people's behavior. And when you're around super sensitive people, you cannot relax.
All right, stay with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to play what George Carlin said. And, of course, that's right. You are censoring other people's behavior. That's the whole point of this. It is not innocent. It has very dire consequences. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, it's David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight, and I want to tell you where you can watch us. Now, if you're watching us, you know this, but we're going to clip this out. We're going to put it up on some of Alex's social media so other people can find it who are still searching around, because this is a new show. We started on Monday, and we have been moving this around to different locations. And some people, one of the most common comments I see are, where do I find this? People are saying that to me on Twitter and other places. So let me tell you right now, YouTube, you can find Real News with David Knight. It's streaming there on our YouTube channel, Real News with David Knight. Also on Facebook, we have it. You'll find it at facebook.com/RealNewsX2. Also, you'll find it on Twitter at RealNewsX2. So again, we're on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, facebook.com/RealNewsX2, Twitter, RealNewsX2, and on YouTube, Real News with David Knight. That's where you'll be able to find our programs and stream them online. I want to get back to political correctness. We were just talking about the sad story of Penn Jillette, who has caved and after calling Newfoundland a euphemism for stupid, He then has now apologized profusely for offending people. Well, that's what he's always done. And, you know, he came after Christians. My wife and I went to see him in Vegas. You know, they like Penn and Teller a lot. I like their politics. I don't like his religion. And towards the end of the act, he started talking about how people abuse the F word. He says it's become an excuse for people with poor vocabulary. And there's really no excuse for people who are professional writers, for people who are Hollywood writers or people who are writing and as journalists or whatever, to continue to use this. They use it as a noun, as an adjective, as a verb, whatever. They use it for everything. And you go back and look at the movies like a Robert De Niro film, and some of these sites that would count the number of times that they would use, they would actually give you a count. You know, they said this word this many times, and they said that word that many times. What was astounding about that was that in many of these Robert De Niro films, they were using the F word more than twice a minute. And it's like, really, they must not have too much to say in terms of the writers if they're that restricted in their vocabulary. So he took them on with that. And then he goes on to say, but I blaspheme every time I can. I use the name of Jesus every time I can because I want to make that point. So he's made a point of being offensive to certain groups. And he said, Christians can handle that. We can handle that kind of criticism. I don't know how happy Jesus is going to be about that ultimately, but we can handle it. And yet this is the guy going on the program of Bill Maher, who used to have a program called Politically Incorrect. Now he calls it Real Time, because these are the times that we're really living in, folks, where you cannot be politically incorrect, not even in a comedy routine. And here we have a former CIA agent, Valerie Plame Wilson. Remember her? The big kerfuffle about the fact that she was unveiled or whatever. It was all political. But now she wants to buy Twitter so that she can kick Trump off. What does that tell you about the left? It tells you that all they care about is censorship. And see, this is one of the reasons why people like Steve Bannon and Donald Trump are not doing as well as they should in Washington. Because they're used to running businesses, they're used to being entrepreneurs, used to getting something done. And they can't really understand, just as I have a hard time understanding, what motivates people like Valerie Plame. Why is it that they are motivated simply to shut down other people, not to push back against them? And I've talked about this, and I'll continue to talk about the fact that we went to, my wife went to the Planned Parenthood rally with some signs, and these people who were Antifa people, they were Marxists. They were Marxists, so they had communist flags. We saw pictures of them in previous marches that they had been in. They show up with black signs. They don't have a sign that says, we want to support choice, or we think it's a great thing to have abortions, or, you know, free sex for everybody. They didn't show up with any of those signs. Instead, they showed up with black signs to cover up the signs that we were talking about, it being black genocide. Talking about the real roots of Planned Parenthood, going back to Margaret Sanger. And so they came up not to debate, not to support their side, but simply to silence people. It's that kind of silence that we heard John Cleese talking about, and we're going to hear George Carlin talk about that in a moment. But that's what Valerie Plame is about. And getting back to what I said about Trump and Bannon, they don't realize that, you know, most people, if they wanted to take over Twitter, what would they want to do? They would want to say, well, I want to make money with it, or, you know, I want to create something. I want to make it better or freer, or maybe give more of a mouthpiece to the left and encourage people to do that, if that's her political bent. Instead, she just wants to censor. She doesn't want to create. She doesn't want to build. She wants to tear down. She wants to silence. And this is the difference between somebody who works in the marketplace and somebody who works in Washington. The only thing that motivates these people is control. And that's what John Cleese was saying. He said, if you're silencing people, what you're ultimately getting to is a situation where you just want to control other people's lives. And that's what Valerie Plame wants to do. She wants to get Twitter so that she can just control what people are saying, silence what they are saying. She doesn't want to make it better. She doesn't want to create. She said, if Twitter executives won't shut down Trump's violence and hate, then it's up to us. Buy Twitter, ban Trump. And she set up a GoFundMe page as a fundraiser. And she says, Trump's speech damages the country and puts people in harm's way. Well, if you don't like what he has to say, debate him. Offer us an alternative. Come up with something better. Don't just silence us into this black hole of the left. As of Wednesday morning, she had raised less than $6,000 of her $1 billion goal. So she's doing really great. And that's good news that there's no market for her mindless censorship. But that's the way government people like Valerie Plame, former CIA agent, that's the way they think. They don't want to create or debate. They want to censor. That's all they want to do. I want to play this clip from George Carlin. This was in 2004. It's 4 years before he died. It's from an audiobook. When will Jesus bring the pork chops or something like that? But I want you to hear what he has to say about political correctness. He says it's fascism and they're pretending to be manners. Here's that clip.
In an earlier book, Brain Droppings, I wrote some things about politically correct language, but I left out a few areas. I neglected three important groups of people who have had this awkward, dishonest language inflicted on them by liberals. I omitted those who are crippled, ugly, or stupid. And so, to address these earlier omissions, I'd like to make a brief return visit to that playground of guilty white liberals, political correctness. Political correctness is America's newest form of intolerance. And it's especially pernicious because it comes disguised as tolerance. It presents itself as fairness, yet attempts to restrict and control people's language with strict codes and rigid rules. I'm not sure that's the way to fight discrimination. I'm not sure silencing people or forcing them to alter their speech is the best method for solving problems that go much deeper than speech. Therefore, those among you who are more politically sensitive than the rest of us may wish to take a moment here to tighten up those sphincter muscles, because I'm going to inject a little realism into the dream world of politically correct speech, especially the words we use to describe one another. Perhaps you've noticed that when the politically correct liberal rulemakers decide to rename a group of humans they view as victims, they begin by imparting a sense of shame to the group's existing name. And so somewhere over the years, the word cripple has been discarded. No one mentions cripples anymore. That's because in yet another stunning attempt to stand reality on its head, cripples have been assigned a new designation, the physically challenged. The use of physically challenged is an obvious attempt to make people feel better. The idea being, as long as we can't cure these people, let's give their condition a more positive.
Have you ever heard anything more perceptive of our current society? And yet he did that 13 years ago. He saw it coming, and he would not be surprised at what he sees today. He would be disgusted, as you should be. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to get back to the news. Before we do, real quickly, I want you to know what our specials are at InfoWarsStore.com. That is what funds our operation, folks. That's what allows us to create a new program in the morning from 8 to 11 Central Time, 9 to 12 Eastern Time. That's this program that you're listening to right now. We're going to be having an afternoon program that will be coming in after the fourth hour of the Real Alex Jones radio broadcast. We're going to be adding that in about a little over a week. We're going to be adding that on September the 4th. And what allows us to expand, what allows us to continue to operate, quite frankly, is the money that we raise, because they're shutting down our operations in terms of being able to serve ads other places. It makes it very difficult for us to even get our ads for our products that we sell onto other websites. They make it difficult for us to carry ads. We're getting banned by Google's ad servers. Then Google tries to, as they're doing with so many people on YouTube, YouTube became a very popular platform for free speech, conservative and libertarian free speech. So they that did not fit their political agenda, so they're working to try to put firewalls around to defund people who are on YouTube, and they're going through with that agenda. So we fund ourselves by selling great quality products. So then John Oliver and BuzzFeed and others decided, well, we'll attack their products because we do everything we can to shut down people seeing their programs, seeing their ads, serving their ads. So now let's go after the products themselves. And so BuzzFeed got a bunch of our products, took them down to a lab, and guess what? They said, wow, this stuff is really good. And it is good. We know it is good. I've used it for years myself. And we, in response to that, Alex put out a special, dropping a lot of our products down to $17.76, which gave us massive discounts, discounts of 50%, 55% off of the retail price. We still have that sale going. It's not going to be going much longer because we've sold out of many of our most popular products, but we still do have some of them in stock. And I'll give you an example of some of these. Silver Bullet, although it's selling out quickly, 66% off at $9.95. Knockout is selling out. That's 50% off. That's our all-natural sleep aid. And again, Silver Bullet is a colloidal silver that is very effective. Just look up silver. You can do your own research. I'm not going to go into the details of the different products here, but I've used it for a variety of things, and it is very effective. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formulation. A lot of people will take vitamin B12 injections, and you don't have to do that. You can take it orally, and it is great tasting. You just put it under your tongue, leave it there for about 15 seconds, and then swallow it. That is 55% off. Survival Shield X2, nascent iodine. Remember, they've taken iodine out of a lot of the products that they used to put it in. They used to put it in as a supplement. Now they are stripping that nutrient out. So if you're not getting enough iodine, this is a great way to get the purest form of it. Survival Shield X2, 55% off at just $17.76 a bottle. BioTrue Selenium. Many people know that selenium is a core vitamin that you need, a mineral that you need to have in your food, and if you're not getting it, you should supplement for it. And there's been a lot of studies showing how effective it is in terms of aiding diseases that are really born out of nutritional deficiency, just like you get scurvy from not having enough vitamin C. So there's a lot of diseases that are exacerbated by a underdose of selenium because we have depleted soils in most of the places where we're growing our food. So if you want to supplement with selenium, this, we call it BioTrue because it's all organic. That is 29% off. InfoWars Select Storable Food, up to 50% off plus free shipping. It's 30 to 40% off the storable food, plus you can get an additional 10% if you put in the coupon code GOBLIN. And then we have some big ticket items like the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter, 25% off. That is a big dollar savings. And if you want to wait until the news comes out that there is lead in the water supply or that there is glyphosate in the water supply and wait for them to decide that they're going to, they still won't ban it, even though we've had a lot of different agencies say, yeah, we see that it creates, looks like there's it's associated with lymphoma. You want to take that chance or do you want to filter that out? Just recently, there was another chemical that was created by, I think it was, well, I'm not going to say the companies because it was Shell and it was another company. They had a chemical byproduct that they were then selling as a kind of pesticide to farmers, and they wound up with a tremendous amount of this in the water supply in California. They admitted that it was junk in their internal memos, that it was absolutely ineffective. They just didn't want to dispose of the toxic waste, so they sold it as a pesticide to these people. Now they're having a big increase in various types of cancers in those areas. So do you want to wait to find out about that, or do you want to take control of your life and filter your water? These are great filters. When I saw that story in California, I saw the chemical, I looked it up, 99.4% of that removed. And that's a long, long list of chemicals that are removed by that water filter. So take control of your life. Help us fight the info war. Take advantage of this massive discount, this sale that we have, including free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. Let's see. Let's get back to the totalitarianism and also to gun control. You know, we've had what they're called the Trump slump, and The Guardian is very happy about the fact that gun sales are declining with President Trump because they had really ramped up. Everybody was concerned that Barack Obama was going to ban guns, or if Hillary Clinton had become president, we would have already had massive gun control, perhaps confiscation, because that's what they truly want. We were at a gun control rally here in Austin covering it, and the gun control people were out there, and it was we were filming what the speakers were saying, and it was the mayor pro tem of Austin that was speaking at the time, and there was one counter protester who was holding up a sign for the Second Amendment, and like I said before, they're trying to pull his arms down, they're trying to cover his sign, and because that's what they do. They don't want to debate. They don't want you to have the freedom to protect yourself. They want to control everything that you do. And so the mayor who was speaking said, you hang on to that, because he said something about on his sign about gun banning. And he said, well, we're not going to ban the guns just yet or confiscate them, but you hang on to that sign because we're going to make that come true. And that's really the ultimate goal. They're coming at this slowly. So we knew that was going to happen with Hillary. We thought it might even happen with Obama. So that fueled a lot of sales. As we've talked about many times, Obama was the world's biggest gun merchant. Everybody thought that he was going to do that. So now, as some of these manufacturers have said, one guy from Mid-America Armament was quoted. He said, I think I'll use the word complacent. He said, nobody's concerned that we're going to lose gun rights in the immediate future. Oh, really? Well, let me give you this example here. They're still at it. The LA Times says the Charlottesville car attack shows a need for more gun control. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. And, of course, House Speaker Paul Ryan has talked about gun control in response to the Charlotte car attack. So has the Charlottesville mayor and the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, close friend of Hillary Clinton. They've all talked about gun control in response to the Charlottesville car attack. And this is what the LA Times says. They say the First Amendment to the Constitution establishes the right to free speech and peaceful assembly. And the Second Amendment creates a right to own firearms. But neither is absolute. Oh, really? Really? Let me tell you something. They are both absolute rights. If they're not absolute rights, then they are government-granted privileges. And let's understand that the Constitution does not give us any rights. It recognizes rights that we are endowed by with our Creator, that each of us possesses as an individual. And it puts prohibitions on the government, that the government officials who swear allegiance to the Constitution so that they can have authority to govern over us routinely ignore and say, well, that's fine, but it's not an absolute right. It's not an absolute right. I mean, certainly you can say whatever you want, and if you lie about other people and you slander other people, they can sue you. But other than that, there isn't any restriction. And if you use a firearm in a way that harms somebody, yeah, you're liable for that too. But it's not a crime to use free speech. It's a crime to harm somebody with your speech. It's not a crime to have weapons. It is a crime to harm somebody with those weapons in an aggressive way. And yet we see the left continually trying to take away our fundamental rights and turn them into privileges. As we see in New York, we have the Manhattan DA, and we were just talking about the statue that's in New York that needs to be removed, I think, the one of the gun with the barrel twisted and tied in knots. The Manhattan District Attorney, who is also co-chair of Prosecutors Against Gun Violence, is very upset about the fact that people in Congress have floated a bill to recognize concealed carry, called the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act. So if you've got responsible people who have been trained and respected in one place, then they're going to lock them up. And we've seen some draconian stuff happening from people in the Northeast. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that on the other side of the news. Stay with us. This is Real News. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back.
Real News with David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. It is August 24th, 2017. I'm David Knight. We're going to be coming up in the program in this hour, we're going to be talking to John Rappaport. In the third hour, we're going to be talking to someone from California, Cal Exit. They call it Yes California is the name of the group. They've been trying to get a petition there for California to secede. The first effort failed, and now they're moving to a constitutional convention approach. They want to change the Constitution so that there is a process for states to exit from the federal union. much like we saw with Brexit. There was a process within the European Union for England to execute, which they voted to do, but they have not yet started to do that process. But there was a process explicitly stated in the European Union for how countries could leave the European Union. There is no such process in the American Constitution because our Constitution was born. I mean, our government was born out of secession. So they understood that to be an implicit right. We fought a civil war over that. So I guess they're concerned that if anybody leaves again, that they will be invaded and shot, as we have seen in the past. So it'll be an interesting debate because there's, I think, is a very interesting issue. And as we start moving towards yet another civil war, and we're looking at secession, that shows how far the country has grown apart. Can we solve this peacefully as other countries have done, gone their own separate ways as Czechoslovakia did? Now we have the Czech Republic, we have Slovakia. So we're going to talk to him in the third hour about Cal exit, about secession, about constitutional convention. That's become a darling of the right wing. Mark Levin, Governor Abbott here in Texas and others have supported that. I have grave doubts about the constitutional conventions and what's going to come out of that. Let's get to the news. We have a hurricane. Harvey is building from a storm to a tropical storm now. A hurricane. It looks likely to be the first hurricane to strike Texas since 2008. And oil companies are now evacuating workers as the storm starts to move towards Texas. Royal Dutch Shell and Anadarko Petroleum, that's a new one, I've never seen that one before, announced production shut-ins affecting five Gulf of Mexico oil platforms on Wednesday ahead of a storm expected to lash the Texas coast with heavy winds and rain later this week. U.S. National Hurricane Center issued a hurricane watch Wednesday for much of the Texas coast, calling for a slow-moving tropical depression Harvey to intensify as it nears landfall. Also, we're tracking the story from Newsweek. We are now in the headlines of Newsweek. Trump will pardon Joe Arpaio because of Alex Jones's InfoWars and Matt Drudge. So they give us credit for shutting down a tremendous overstep by a judge that was out to get Sheriff Joe for enforcing immigration laws that Obama had told the Border Patrol and other law enforcement that they could not enforce. It was a personal vendetta. She would not give him a jury trial. And as I reported on this back, I think it was on, it was about a month or so ago, I called on people to get the word out. Well, we've been pushing it pretty hard. We've had Jerome Corsi, Roger Stone, and many others have talked about this. And I don't know there's been a lot of push from the public, but it was Matt Drudge putting out the articles written by Jerome Corsi that brought it to Donald Trump's attention. We also have a federal judge tossing out the Texas voter ID law. This federal judge is an Obama's appointee, Judge Nelva Gonzalez Ramos. A federal judge in Texas has again thrown out the state's controversial voter ID law, which required voters to show ID and on several approved forms of photo ID in order to cast a ballot. But if you show a photo ID, that is racist, that is intimidation. They went back and they made sure they had several forms of photo ID. We're going to talk about what it takes to fly in a moment. That is intimidation. That is stepping over the line. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the real news. Live from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to the real news. I'm David Knight. We were just talking before we went to break about a federal judge here in Texas tossing out the Texas voter ID law. We wouldn't want to know if people are legitimate voters, would we? Not if you're a Democrat, evidently. This woman is an Obama appointee, and she has been fighting Texas on efforts to get photo ID. And let me tell you, coming from North Carolina, why you want to have this. And I've told this story several times, and I'm going to keep telling it. In the 2012 election, my brother-in-law had a very close friend, said he went down to vote, and in North Carolina, there is no photo ID. You just give them a name and an address, and they look you up in their book. They have some of the most liberal voting laws anywhere in the country in North Carolina. They have the longest voting period of any state in the union. And you can go pretty much anywhere you want to go to vote and so forth and so on. So it makes it very difficult to stop voter fraud. And I understand, as many people have pointed out, that voter fraud is not the biggest problem with elections. Quite frankly, the biggest problem with elections is electronic voting. And that's really what Texas ought to be working on to stop. And I'll get to that in a moment. But when it comes to having valid voters, that is also something that is important. So this friend of my brother-in-law's goes to vote, and I've done this every time. I know what the procedure is like. You go there, you give them your name, your address, they look you up in the thing, and then they mark that off, and they hand you a ballot. And they said, sorry, you've already voted. And so has this person at the same address. And they said, well, that's my mother, and she's been dead for a couple of years. And so they say that doesn't happen. It does happen. It doesn't get reported. He was not going to go fight that, and he was not going to go to the newspapers to report it. He didn't even want his name mentioned. He didn't want to come on the program and talk about it. People have lives, and they're not going to spend their lives trying to get the government to do its job correctly. But we do have some people here in Texas who said, yeah, you know, if it's not a big problem, why wouldn't we do it right? Why wouldn't we do it right? We get photo ID'd for everything, everywhere. Everyone believes that they have a right to look at my driver's license and my social security number and tell me what I can or cannot do based on that, to vet my identity. So why shouldn't it be done for voting? Well, the only reason is if you want to put fraud in. That's why we're so concerned about this, is because it is so suspicious that you would exclude that one activity from any kind of real identification. And so this judge, this Obama judge, Gonzalez Ramos, said that this has discriminatory intent to show people a photo ID. And it wasn't just a driver's license. We made it easy for people. It's like we had how many different forms of ID they had? It doesn't say on the several approved forms of ID, but it's quite a few different forms of ID. It doesn't say so in this article. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has promised to appeal today's ruling, calling it outrageous, quote unquote, outrageous. Yeah, it is quote unquote ridiculous, too. He said Senate Bill 5 was passed by the people's representatives, and it includes all the changes to the Texas voter ID law that was requested by this court, the Fifth Circuit. And now they come back and they say, sorry, you still have people's pictures here. So that means that we can't put in ringers for the election. We're not going to accept that. So let's talk about what happens, you know, when you fly. When you fly, we all have to pull out the photo ID, don't we? And I was just flying recently on vacation, and there's signs everywhere. If your state is not real ID compliant, then you're going to have some other, you're going to have passport or something like that beginning the first of the year. How's that for tyranny from the TSA, from the federal government? The same people that are saying anybody who looks at a photo ID, that's not good enough. Photo ID is not good enough for the TSA. They're going to have this real ID process. They're moving to a national identity card, and yet they still won't let us use even photo ID for voters. And I'm not happy about the national identity card. Let me tell you, I'm very unhappy about that. But let's talk about what else they do to you at the airport, the way they pat you down. Here's a Charlotte woman who questions her TSA pat down. They said a Transportation Security Administration screener told this lady, whose last name is Jenna McFarland, that she would have to undergo a full body pat down by a female officer. Late for her flight, and with no other option than to be searched in private, she agreed. She said the experience humiliated her. She's 56 years old. She is a Charlotte, North Carolina graphic designer, a part-time teacher who flies several times a year. And she said it also left her with a nagging question that millions of fellow travelers would ask. How much privacy do I have to give up in order to fly safely? Yeah, you know, you're not going to give up your liberty and get safety. So it isn't a trade-off here. Let's just understand that up front. To the extent that you give away your freedoms, to that extent, you become a slave. Slaves are never free. Slaves are never prosperous. And you are voluntarily putting yourself into slavery by degrees when you give up your liberty. Liberty is very dangerous. It's always dangerous, but it is the safest thing we have. You will never have safety or prosperity or privacy as a slave. And you're going there by degrees. We're here, the land of the free and the home of the slave. And if you don't believe that, just travel on an airplane and see what they do to you. Now, she did not volunteer for this. Every time I go, I demand that they give me a pat down because number one, I refuse to go through these machines. I don't know what they're doing. It's probably minor. I know that it is ineffective because we had an engineer, John Corbett, many times go through these screening machines with a gun and document this and show people he calls himself professional troublemaker. He has pointed out that this is ineffective security through these machines. The machines, I might add, that were sold to the American government by Michael Chertoff, who was the CEO of a company that started stockpiling these things and had massive number of these things ready to roll out into all of the airports right after the underwear bomber did his little thing at Christmas time. And if you don't believe that's a setup, then you look at the lawyer Haskell, who saw this guy who looked like a drugged out bum being put on a plane by an English-speaking guy in a suit. He was an eyewitness to that. And then they have the underwear bomber, and everybody's going, underwear. Now we're going to have scanners everywhere. No problem. The former director of Homeland Security has got these things designed, built, and stockpiled and ready to put in the airports right away. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's simply theater, and it is slave training to get them to put their hands on you as their slaves, that they can do anything that they want. And, of course, we do this in the schools as well with the metal detectors and everything else. There's no privacy. We are to be inspected and scanned no matter what we do, unless it's voting. Voting, no. We don't know who these people are. Here's what a security expert said. He said, if we can't keep weapons out of prisons, and this is what he said. He said, you think that's invasive? You should see what they do to you in prison. And yet we still have people smuggling weapons into prison, just like they do drugs, as a matter of fact. You know, we have hundreds of people die in prisons every year with drug overdoses. They get so much drug, they overdose in prison and die. So if we can't keep the drugs out of our prisons, what does that say about the kind of society we're going to have to build in order to forcefully keep people from taking drugs? It is not a law enforcement issue. Never will be. We simply create additional problems. It is a spiritual problem. It is a psychological problem. Drugs are a problem. I'm not saying they're a great thing. I'm just saying prohibition is another problem that gets layered on top of this. But this guy says, hey, we can't keep weapons out of prison, so we can't hope to keep them out of airports. He said, you think that's intrusive? You should see what they do to people as they're going into prison. And I pointed out, I always demand that they pat me down for two reasons. I do not want to go through the machine. I don't know what's in it. I don't trust it. And I want to be a monkey wrench in the system. If everybody did this, you would shut the system down. We organized at InfoWars, we organized an opt-out weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend, after they put these machines in. We said, we're going to have everybody opt out. You know what they did? They shut down all the machines, and they let everybody walk through without any inspection on the busiest day of the year. They know that there is no danger there, and we've seen the documents. I'm going to tell you about that when we come back. This is a key point you need to understand. Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight, and it is one thing after the other. And we're going to have some news things coming up after I tell you about our specials, because that's what funds our operations. That's what allows us to have new programs like this one that begins at 8 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. From Eastern's time zone, it's 9 to 12. And so following us is The Real Alex Jones program that now goes for 4 hours. And beginning in about a week or so, we're going to have another 3-hour program after that. So what allows us to expand this operation, to hire the crew, to build the studios? It's your support, and we thank you for that. This is something that you have put together, and we are pleased to be your voice for liberty. We always stand for liberty. We stand with a government when it deserves it. Let me tell you about BuzzFeed special that we have here. This was something BuzzFeed tried to ridicule and mock us, and then it turned out that, yeah, when they tested the products, they were great stuff. So Alex has done a mega special that has been running through August. We've sold out of some of our most popular products, but still many of these are available. Silver Bullet is 66% off. Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, is 50% off. Secret 12, our vitamin B12, is 55% off. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 55% off. BioTrue Selenium, 29% off. Caveman, chocolate or strawberry, 30% off. Our new Super Blue mouthwash, 11% off out of the gate at $17.76. And we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion at 33% off. In addition to that, we have InfoWars Select Storable Food that is storable for up to 25 years. Still tastes great when you unseal it. Once you unseal it, you can then seal it back again for short-term use. It is all natural, made in the U.S., no GMO ingredients, and that is discounted 30 to 40% off, plus free shipping, plus you can use the coupon code GOBLIN and get an additional 10% off, 50% off with that coupon. And remember, free shipping store-wide, and these items are selling out fast. Take a look at InfoWarsStore.com for this limited-time BuzzFeed mega special. I want to real quickly go back to what I was finishing up with the TSA, because I've got some more information for you fellow slaves out there about tasers, one of my other pet peeves, TSA and tasers. As this guy pointed out, he said, if we can't keep weapons out of prison, he's a security expert, we can't hope to keep them out of airports. And so the only explanation, he said, I can give for why planes are not falling out of the sky is because no one is trying. Let me tell you something. We know that because the TSA wrote that. I told you about Jonathan Corbett, and we interviewed him multiple times, and he was showing how ineffective these machines are. And he actually got involved in a lawsuit with the TSA. As part of that lawsuit, the discovery process allowed him to see documents, internal documents with the TSA. Now, whenever there's a lawsuit, federal lawsuit, they put this information up on pacer.gov. It was supposed to be redacted. So they would let him, as a defendant, see this information that was in their files, but they did not want you, the public, to know these super secrets. Unfortunately for them, these are the people who are keeping us safe. They do make mistakes, and the mistake they made in this particular case was to publish the unredacted lawsuit, not the redacted one. And it was up for several days, and we got screenshots of that. And we reported that at InfoWars.com. We did interviews about that. We showed that to you multiple times on both written articles, and I did many reports on this. And let me give you the key intel that came out of this. This is what the TSA does not want you to know. Just exactly what this guy could infer. He said, look, we know their security is not effective, so that means nobody is trying. Nobody is trying. He says, this is not real stuff. Even the body pat-downs, he said, this is not going to keep people from getting weapons in or keep them from making weapons once they're on the plane. He said, we go through much more rigorous procedure for people who are coming into prisons, and we still have the same problem with it. So he said, people aren't trying to do this. And once they do start trying, then you're going to see that the TSA procedures actually make us more vulnerable to a terrorist attack than we would be if they left us alone like they used to. They bunch everybody up in these particular areas, which makes everybody a very passive target. But what the TSA does not want you to see, but what we did see in that lawsuit that got published by mistake before they replaced it with the redacted version, they said in 2011, they said there is no threat to airplanes and no threat to airports. The TSA said that. And at the same time, they wrote that in their internal documents. We had a state legislature, a state legislator here in Texas. His name is David Strickland, a great man, a conservative, libertarian, patriot. This guy is straight up. I would vote for him for president. I would do anything I could do to get that guy elected into any political office he wants to run for. This guy was straight up. He was fed up with this. He said, we're not going to have our people be sexually abused and manhandled in order to just travel. So he put a bill up that passed unanimously in the state house. And then David Dewhurst, our lieutenant governor, who, guess what? Before he became lieutenant governor, he became a wealthy oil millionaire.
And before he became a wealthy oil millionaire, he worked for the CIA all of his life. They gave him a golden parachute after he got out. They made him extremely wealthy. He spent more money to get elected lieutenant governor than anybody has ever spent for a statewide office here in Texas. He organized an opposition to that, and the TSA was telling everybody, we're going to turn Texas into a no-fly zone. We're not going to allow anybody to have commercial flights in or out of Texas if you don't allow us to put our hands on you at the airport. And they shut it down when it went to the Senate. And at the same time they were doing that, the TSA had in their internal memos in 2011 that there is no threat to airplanes or to airports, and they really didn't want you to see that. But we saw it. We saw it because of their incompetence. That is the lie, the deception of what they're doing. Now let's talk about tasers here, because we've had other cases. When I first came here to Texas, it was one of the cities around here. It might have even been Austin. I'm not sure, Austin or Dallas. There was a guy who had some kind of a health condition, epilepsy or something. He had an automobile accident, and that triggered that. And he was frozen in the car, and the policeman arrived and told him to get out of the car multiple times. He could not answer. He could not move. The cop tasered him. He died. He died. In Bastrop, Texas, not too far out of Austin, there was a fight in a school. One guy, and you can see it in the surveillance footage, a guy comes in, he's not the one fighting, he comes in, he breaks up the fight, and then a big fat security guard comes in, and he tasers that guy because he thinks he's the one doing that, and the guy falls down, hits his head, and he's been in a coma ever since. And so what's happening with taser? We've got a report from Reuters, and here's another example I'll give you. Officer Richard Haas says he's never meant for Everett Howard to die. He just wanted to stop him. A top high school graduate staying on at the University of Cincinnati campus for a college prep program, Howard, 18 years old, had broken no laws that hot August night in 2011. It was about 3 a.m. in the morning. He was agitated after a run-in with a neighborhood kid who had tried to rob his friends. Blocks away, University police officer Haas's radio crackled with reports of an assault. Nearing the scene, he intercepted several people running away and ordered them to the ground. He unholstered his taser. He panned its red sighting beam over them to get their attention. Howard, shirtless, approached from behind with his dorm advisor. He said, get down. And he said, we're not the ones you're looking for. Howard stepped forward, and he thought the teen intended to kneel. He shot him, to make a long story short, hit him in the chest. The 18-year-old collapsed and died, pronounced dead at the hospital. And this guy was a certified taser instructor. There are hundreds of people, thousands plus killed with tasers.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's the real news with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to the real news. I'm David Knight, and joining us in this segment is John Rappaport. We're going to be going to John in just one moment. Before we do, and I know that John is going to want to comment on this as well, I want to finish up with what I was saying about tasers, because this is a big issue, folks. When I look at the way tasers are being used by our police department, they're sold as a non-lethal means of control. Even if that were true, should we be giving the police high-tech whips, electronic whips, to control us? I mean, how much slavery will you put up with? Evidently a lot. People don't care what the TSA does to them when they go through the airport. They're perfectly fine with this company selling high-tech electric whips to whip us into line, like we were slaves on the government's plantation, and there are overseers. This thing is exactly upside down. And let me tell you, if you think that it's non-lethal, Reuters has done a report. They've documented 1,005 people who have died in the United States following encounters with police in which tasers were used, either on their own or more often as part of a larger mosaic of force. Isn't that a nice way to put it? A mosaic of force. Reuters found that wrongful death lawsuits were filed in at least 442 of those incidents. Isn't that interesting that only 44% of those cases people would file a lawsuit? They said nearly all the suits filed against police and the municipalities that employ them. Taser International, the manufacturer, was only named as a defendant in 128 of those cases. So only in an eighth of the cases did they even get named as a defendant. Because they would come back in and say, we told you, even though you are a certified instructor, like that case I just had there where the 18-year-old was tasered by a university cop and he died of a heart attack because the electrified dart hit below his lower left chest. The other one hit near his waist, caused him to collapse and die. But of course, we've also seen other situations where people collapse and hit their head and go into a coma. As I said, another situation where the automobile that I know of, just two situations right here locally here in Texas. But of course, the university got settled their lawsuit for $2 million. Taser faced no litigation in that particular case. But in many cases, these municipalities are paying big, big bucks, which means that you, the taxpayer, get hit twice. Our lives, even if we're not doing anything, are subject to being forfeited or having a life-changing incident if we don't obey our masters instantly. And then even if we or our families are not hit with this, then they say more than three-fifths of the 366 concealed lawsuits against governments or 232 resulted in judgments or settlements for the plaintiffs. And they said Reuters was able to determine the payouts in 193 cases totaled $172 million paid by cities and their insurance companies. That's just the dollar cost. It doesn't put a cost on life. It doesn't put a cost on our liberty. That's the key part of this. And so joining us now, and I'm sure he'll want to say something about that. He's got a lot of information about some tyranny in terms of health issues, is John Rappaport. And of course, he is someone who is no stranger to InfoWars. He is a regular host here on the fourth hour. As a matter of fact, he'll be doing the fourth hour of the Alex Jones radio show today. He has been writing articles about freedom. He's been writing articles about health for a very long time. His website is nomorefakenews.com. He's been talking about fake news longer than anybody else. Joining us now is John Rappaport. Welcome, John.
Hey, great to be here. Congratulations on the new show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to have you here. Your comments, if you have any on that, but then tell us what is on your radar that you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, I have some comments about this taser thing. The testing, the whole process by which somebody decides, like a drug, you know, that the FDA is approving, whatever, that this method of electronic whipping, as you say, is safe and effective. Somebody had to pass on that. The company itself had to run field tests and do studies and assure the government that this was completely safe. And the government, federal government, state governments, local governments, all of them had to accept these findings without any independent assessments. Mm-hmm. So obviously, these studies were cooked. Because we see from what you're talking about here, people dying, having heart attacks. Well, that should have been obvious in the earliest phases of testing. So the company is liable, the manufacturer is liable, the governments are liable in all of these lawsuits. And I'm sure that this is not being brought up in the lawsuits.
And I think that this is just the tip of the iceberg, because our government is increasingly interested in crowd control and population control, and they're going to come up with things that they're going to sell to us as non-lethal, but they're going to have very dangerous consequences. They might use sound cannons against us that will permanently damage our hearing, and maybe people who are at the riot and are peacefully at the riot expressing their grievances against the government, they might be hit with this and lose their hearing. So this is a large principle, a spectrum of devices that are being developed all the time by what I call the police industrial complex, because now we don't just have the military industrial complex. They have a new profit center, and that is controlling the population. And this is something I think we're going to continue to see, don't you?
Absolutely. It keeps expanding in all sorts of ways. And the longer these cases are hidden, you know, the lawsuits, the deaths and so forth, for example, from tasers, you see, okay, Reuters ran a piece on this. That's going to disappear tomorrow. There's not going to be any big follow-up. There's not no media outlet is going to say, okay, let's let the hounds loose. We want to investigate this thing down to the core. We want to find out who lied, who took money, who took bribes in order to say that this technology is actually safe, when we know how can this be safe? You're delivering enormous electric shocks to the system. This is like electroshock treatment out in the street. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, we got very concerned. We saw the MRAPs being put in with the police department. So everybody said, this is a very explicit militarization of the police, and it's very dangerous. But then there were many facets to that. They would have to maintain those pieces of equipment at the expense of the local police department, the local community. They remain the property of the defense department. And at the same time, they'd had a program where they were providing that type of equipment to fire departments, particularly rural fire departments, who didn't have the money to purchase expensive stuff like that, but who were on the front lines of these massive wildfires, and so they needed help from the federal government with the surplus Pentagon equipment. They shut that down, and they shut it down for about 6 weeks before congressmen and senators, because of the lobby of the firemen, said, what are you doing? And they got that started again. So we see what their mindset is. It's a mindset of population control. It's a mindset of militarizing the police. And forget about safety, because if they cared about safety, they wouldn't have taken it away from the fire departments. They've been doing that since World War II. But then there's another aspect to this, John, which I think really reflects on this taser stuff. And that is the training that the police are put through. Because that, to me, is more of an issue of militarization than the MRAPs that are put in the police department says for deployment for the Pentagon whenever they want to use it. The idea that they start telling the police that they can shoot first, and this is the core thing that is happening to so many of these issues that then are turned around into a race war. And we've seen this over and over again in Nevada, where they had several cases of this. And the first one that really went viral was they had a homeless man. They talked to him for a while, and then they just wound up shooting him there on the hills. And everybody was talking about that. They're in Nevada. A police officer who was a trainer at the police academy for a very long time said, they've changed the curriculum. It is a shoot-first curriculum, and I refuse to teach this anymore. So he stepped down. That's the militarization we have to worry about, isn't it, John?
Shoot first, ask questions later. That's
yeah,
the training.
Or don't even ask any questions. Right. All right, we're running out of time. I want to give you a chance to talk about vaccines when we come back. John Rappaport with No More Fake News. He's been giving you the real stuff for a very long time. We'll be right back with John Rappaport. Real News. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. He will be our host on the fourth hour of The Real Alex Jones Show today. Before I get back to John, and he's got some interesting updates on the situations in Australia about vaccine information suppression and censorship and the heavy-handedness of the Australian government, we're going to talk to him about that. But before we do, I just want to remind you that what funds the InfoWars here is your purchasing of the products that we sell. And as BuzzFeed proved to everybody, the products that we sell are great quality products. They bought them to try to ridicule us, to try to make our products look bad. They took them to a lab. They said, yeah, this stuff is really great. And it is. It is great. And so we have Silver Bullet selling out at 66% off. That's $9.95. That's a colloidal silver that you can get. Liquid colloidal silver knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, is selling out 50% off. And I got to tell you, I and the InfoWars crew have been using the knockout to try to reset our biological clock to get up at O-dark 30 to start this morning broadcast. I've used in the past, I've used melatonin when I was traveling to a different time zone to help me to fall asleep so that I could get rapidly onto the different time zone. And that is in knockout along with some other things like L-tryptophan. You get sleepy after you have a big Thanksgiving meal. Well, a large part of that is it's not just the large meal, but it's also the L-tryptophan. And there are many other things in there that relax you that are natural. So that's in knockout. It is selling out at 50% off. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 liquid formulation that you can get a supplementation without taking an injection. That is now 55% off. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine is 55% off. Caveman in either chocolate or strawberry, 30% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, that's a drink mix that gives you a multivitamin supplementation, great tasting. And you can combine that with any kind of smoothie that you want to make. It's a great way to take your vitamins and minerals without taking a whole lot of pills, 33% off. And we have some big ticket items, Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter and Alexa Pure Breeze. That's an air filter for your house because your house gets a large concentration many times of chemicals. It is when we try to make our houses airtight because we want to make them energy efficient, then we wind up concentrating sometimes very toxic things inside of our house. So that Alexa Pure Breeze will filter out those toxins, give you nice clean air. That's 25% off. These are big ticket items. The Alexa Pure Breeze is 25% off, so it's $149 right now. Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter, that's 25% off, so that's $147 right now. So this is while supplies last, they're rapidly selling out, and there is free shipping. Let me repeat that. Free shipping right now as part of that sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping on anything that you order there. All right, let's go back to John Rappaport. John, you've got an update for us about many people are familiar with the documentary called Vaxxed that created kind of a problem with the Tribeca Film Festival there. We have Robert De Niro, who says that he believes that his child was damaged by a vaccine, has autism. And he was in favor of showing that, but we have all these Hollywood types who have, they scream bloody murder if anybody cuts out the bloody murder out of their movies. But if somebody has a political view that they don't like or wants to come up with something that they think is controversial, that is about medicine or science, they don't want that heard. So they come on full bore for censorship. Because they're part of the left, and they kept that movie from being shown there. But you've got an update about what happened with Vaxxed and with an Australian connection. Go ahead.
So Polly Tommy, who is one of the producers of this film, Vaxxed, took it to Australia on a tour. And the film is very specific, by the way. It's the story of an explosive story of one insider researcher, longtime researcher at the Centers for Disease Control, who admitted publicly in 2014 on his lawyer's website, it's there, that he and his colleagues cheated, lied, and cooked the data on a study of the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, in order to make it appear that the vaccine had no connection to autism when, in fact, it increased the risk of autism. That's the essence of the film.
And that's a blockbuster report. And they made an entire documentary about that.
It's an incredible story, which the major media, of course, never followed up on.
That's right.
So here we go in Australia. She takes the film there. The media starts screaming, government officials, this film is dangerous and nobody should see it. It could cause great harm to people who decide not to vaccinate their children, blah, 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 blah. And as soon as the media starts screaming, people start lining up around the block because they want to see the movie. And they do, right? And there are Q&A
sessions. Streisand effect.
Yes, exactly. And so there are Q&A sessions after the movie and so on and so forth. So Polly Tommy, the producer, on her way out of the country, is suddenly corralled by Customs and Immigration in Australia. She's taken off to the side. Let's see your cell phone. We want your password. We want to see everything on it. What's happening with this film? Who's making money off of it? Whatever. All these questions. They detain her, and then they tell her, your visa, which is still in force, is now canceled. And you're banned from the country for 3 years. You can't come back.
Wow.
So I obtained the documents, the actual official government documents from Australia, as to why her visa was canceled, why she was banned. Contrary to what media over there were saying, it had nothing to do with the fact that she supposedly lied on her application and didn't reveal that she was there to do business in the country. She said she was there to do business, and the government acknowledged that. No, they banned her, as they stated, because she's an anti-vaccine activist from the United States. And number two, her presence in the country, and I'm practically quoting here, could disturb the good order of certain members of the Australian community. What?
Who would that be? The people who sell the drugs and vaccines?
Big Pharma? Very good. Very good. Right. Yeah. The CEOs of the vaccine manufacturers. Right. Yeah. She could disturb. Yeah. That's why they kicked her out.
Disturb their profits. That's amazing. Do they have a vaccine court there? I mean, since they have a government healthcare system, I'm assuming they don't have a vaccine court there like we do here in the U.S. That they don't want anybody to know about that, that vaccine court here in the U.S. They don't have anything like that in Australia, do they?
Not that I'm aware of. Polly said a couple of very illuminating things on her way out of the country. One, she said, the good people of Australia, whom she really connected with, she said they are petrified that if they speak the truth about vaccines, if they question the official government stance on vaccines, that Child Protective Services could come to their home and take their children away, period.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're petrified, number one.
Oh, yeah. And well, they're doing that here, too, as well. You know, keep you out of the school, take you out of the family, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and if you sound off too loudly now, I mean, it could be big trouble. Okay, the second point she made, which I thought was fantastic, was she said, we started interviewing parents of children who had never been vaccinated. They didn't vaccinate their kids. Mm-hmm. And we discovered that these kids grew up completely healthy. Happy, healthy, terrific, without ever having had a vaccine. And she said, that's when the real trouble started with the Australian government. They really got upset about that because we were just, you know, uncovering the whole scam. And they did not like that one bit.
The thing is, and we're going to see more of this as the government takes more and more control of our health care. That's why I want Obamacare ripped out root and branch. We do not want to create a health czar in HHS that is going to sit there, even if at the current time we would have a health czar who would remove some of the restrictions and mandates. We don't want that office to exist. But as they exert more and more control, what we're going to wind up seeing is that a government that can force health care upon you can withhold health care from you. If they can put anything into your body that they want, they'll be able to eventually take anything out of your body that they want, just as we see happening with an authoritarian regime like China. And so that's the thing. You become their property, their cattle, their slaves, and they can do anything that they want to you. If you don't have the freedom to decide what medication and what food you're going to have, then you have no freedom at all. And they can withhold that from you at the same time.
I wish more people understood the point that you just made, David, because that is the big one. Underneath this umbrella of we care, we want to give everybody coverage, a better world, all of this stuff, you know, it's we're in control, we own you, that's it.
It's not universal coverage, it's universal slavery and chains. Thank you so much for joining us, John Rappaport, and you can find him at nomorefakenews.com, and you'll be able to find him this afternoon on the fourth hour of The Real Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about Cal Exit with somebody from that movement and constitutional conventions coming up in the fourth hour.
Broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to be talking to someone from Yes, California. You've probably heard of Cal Exit, kind of like Brexit. And I would suggest also maybe Texit, where we can get out of Texas, get out of the union. We're going to be talking about secession. We're going to be talking about their efforts to get out of the union, and now they've got a different approach. They're talking about a constitutional convention. So that opens up another issue. That has become a darling of the right wing, actually, constitutional convention idea. And, of course, they floated it for specific purposes. Many people say, well, can we keep it to a specific purpose? Can we keep it to a balanced budget amendment or to giving us a process, which is what the California Yes people want to do, a process that would limit it to defining, let's say, a legal procedure to go through to secede from the United States as Great Britain seceded from the European Union. They had that process. So we're going to be talking to him in the next segment. Let's do the news real quickly here. We have a tropical storm, Harvey, is now expected to become a hurricane. and it is threatening floods for Texas and Louisiana. Storm surge watches have been issued, and oil companies are evacuating workers from oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico as this is developing. This will be the first hurricane to strike Texas since 2008. Meanwhile, we have Navy identifying missing USS McCain sailors as search and rescue efforts have been suspended. 10 sailors were missing. They say they've identified the 9 missing sailors. And then they go on to say further down, and of course it's been reported that there were 10 that were missing, so I'm not sure about the discrepancy in ABC News's copy here, but it is 10 sailors. Perhaps they have only identified 9 of them at the moment. And this follows another similar incident just 2 months ago with the same class of ship, an Arleigh Burke destroyer that is equipped with a very sophisticated, these are $2 billion ships. It's equipped with the these Aegis-class destroyers are equipped with radar that can track 100 targets simultaneously. And yet, there is something that is happening with the procedure. Even though they have people on the bridge, they have, I think, 5 individuals on the bridge, 2 fore, 1 aft, we're still seeing these collisions with giant, slow-moving cruisers, in this particular case, 600 feet long, 2 football fields long. So the question is, what is going on here? This is the 4th collision that has happened this year. So people are saying, is this a terrorist attack? They said that after the first one. Now we've had 2 of these happen. And in the meantime, in between these 2, we had an incident where there were 20 commercial vessels that were GPS spoofed. They were seeing on their navigational equipment that they were 20 miles inland near an airport. And so there are questions that are being asked. Is there some kind of hacking going on by China, by Russia, by maybe North Korea with satellites involved? We're not going to have an admission of that from the Pentagon. Certainly, they're not going to admit that their sophisticated, hardened military equipment is being hacked in the navigational area. But it is something that we should be concerned about as people that are exposed as military is being shut down, this expensive military operation, and the lives that are being lost. There were 7 lives lost in the Fitzgerald incident. And there have now been 10 lost. They've stopped the search and rescue efforts for the USS McCain. Trump has attacked Republican leaders over the debt ceiling. On Twitter, he said that he asked Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan to attach legislation to increase the country's borrowing limit to a bill related to veterans. Trump said they didn't do it. He said, now we have a big deal. We've got Democrats holding them up. It could have been so easy, and now it is a mess. It is a mess because the establishment Republicans are going to oppose Trump on every piece of his agenda. He said this going in, that it was bad for Trump to support Paul Ryan because Paul Ryan was going to be his biggest opposition, not the Democrats. The Democrats are going to hang together. It's going to be the Republican leadership that's going to stop it. And, of course, this story that we're tracking, Trump will pardon Joe Arpaio, says Newsweek, because of Alex Jones's InfoWars and Matt Drudge. Thank you. We'll take that. Justice will be served when Sheriff Arpaio is pardoned. We'll be right back. We'll talk to the people with Cal Exit. Stay tuned.
You found it. It's the real news. From the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight. We have a guest joining us in this segment from California. They have Cal Exit Part 2. The group is Yes California. You can find them at yescalifornia.org. On Facebook, you can find them at facebook.com/YesCalifornia. We're going to be talking about secession. The left wants to secede. We have people here in Texas that would like to secede. What are the issues behind that? Is this a good idea? Is it a bad idea? How would it happen? The second approach to get Cal Exit to run through here that they've just put forward, this second proposal, would revolve around a constitutional convention. And that in and of itself is another big issue that is being floated around by a lot of people. So we're going to get to Marcus Ruiz Evans in just one moment. I'd want to do a clarification of the news that I was just reading. I was handed that article and reading the headlines. I questioned why they would say 9 missing sailors and then say 10 sailors who went missing. They found one body and there are 9 missing sailors from the USS McCain that they were still searching for, those 9, and they have now suspended search and rescue efforts after several days of looking, and so that's now been suspended. So that's the discrepancy. There were 10 who died, and 9 have not been recovered. One body was recovered. But let's go to secession, and let's go to constitutional conventions, and joining us now is Marcus Ruiz Evans. He has worked as a liaison between the state of California government and the federal government for more than 10 years, forcing him to develop a personal understanding of federal and state relationships. During this time, he also had the opportunity to work on goods movement efficiency studies, looking at how the international freight system operates, especially California's role in the world economy. And of course, California, if it was by itself, would be one of the world's largest economies. Same thing is true of Texas. We kind of have a mirror image situation here between the two states. There's a lot of people in both states that would like to be independent, that would like to go in different directions, polar different directions. Can that be resolved? Can we do that peacefully? So now joining us is Marcus Ruiz Evans of YesCalifornia.org. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Evans.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here, David.
Lay out for us a little bit as to where this is first in terms of the Cal exit proposal, because this is being put out as Cal exit part 2, and I think this involves something about a U.S. constitutional convention. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they're calling it Cal Exit 2 because they said that Cal Exit was over. So, yes, California had some issues. It closed down. I left. And the movement seemed to sort of implode. Then I came back to Yes, California after a couple other groups got going. So when you started seeing new initiatives being filed, there's actually about 3 or 4 Cal Exit groups. And 3 of them have filed initiatives. And they're calling it Cal Exit 2 because the media had said Cal Exit was over and it's dead and it's gone. And look, it's kaput. And then all of a sudden, there's not one group, there's now 3. And there's not one initiative that was pulled, there's now 3 initiatives filed. So there's actually 3 Cal Exit initiatives from 3 different groups. One's the California Freedom Coalition. They're asking for the governor of California to negotiate for more autonomy and to push America to give California the actual respect in the democratic system that it gets, because it doesn't get its fair representation in the House of Representatives.
Let's break that down a little bit. What do they mean by more? Let's break that down a little bit for people. What they mean by more autonomy and respect or whatever. I mean, how would that look? What would that look like?
Right. So the model for the CalExit movement was Scotland. Now, it's called CalExit. People tie that to Brexit. That's for marketing. That's because that's easy for people to remember. The actual logistical political model in global governance that most of the CalExit people look at, not all, is the Scottish model with England, particularly because Scotland has what's called devolution. I wrote a book in 2012, California's Next Century 2.0, that documented it as subnational sovereignty, where effectively Scotland acts like an independent nation, but it's technically part of the United Kingdom. It has to share the British pound, and it has to have its boys and girls join a united military, but it's able to do a lot of things on its own. Go to the Olympics, participate in international commissions, act like an international body, negotiate with other countries. So some people in the CalExit movement like that model. The reason that most people are comfortable with it was that Scotland was able to move peacefully and legally to that model. So Alex Salmond came in and he took over the Scottish National Party. And within about 7 to 10 years, he moved that party that had been around as a joke for about 70 years, to actually having a vote for autonomy within about 5 years. 5 years. About 5 to 7 years it took Alex Salmond to get a joke of a concept to reality and an actual vote. And then they literally did it peacefully and legally. And then Salmond and the SNP continued to push for more autonomy, and they actually had a vote for a full break. Now, Scotland didn't make that decision, but just barely. And everybody
yeah,
in the
that.
College
yeah.
liked that model.
That. And, and that brings up an interesting question, because, you know, our country, people say, well, secession, they remember the Civil War. But what they don't remember is the Revolutionary War. The Revolutionary War was a war of secession. The Declaration of Independence was a declaration of secession. That's what independence means. That means that people believe that Although they've had a political union with people in the past, that there have been other issues that have come up. They no longer want to have that union, and they have a right as individuals of self-governance that allows them to split off. So if we're not going to support secession, then we can't really even support the existence of the United States government, because it was founded on that right of secession. And I have a question, though, when we look at this, because as the South seceded in the Civil War, then West Virginia seceded from Virginia. Now, we have West Virginia as one of our separate states now, and that's been recognized by the federal government, although they did not recognize the overall secession. They continued to recognize West Virginia's secession. There are people in California who are conservative enclaves that are up in the northern part of California, close to Oregon. They would like to secede from California as a state. Do you support that?
I'm glad you brought up that group is called Jefferson, and they've been around working for that for a very long time. I do respect the right of people to have a vote in a democracy and discuss issues and to choose by vote and voluntary association what government they want to be part of. I don't think you can have a democracy or claim to be a democracy and not allow people to vote to choose what government they want to be part of. Just it's anathema. It doesn't work. So to that degree, I support it. However, I need to make this very clear. There is a lot of talk about this rural liberal divide, interior California versus coastal liberal. The Republicans brought up a plan to split California a couple months ago when CalExit got really big. They brought a foreigner, Nigel Farage, in. And then recently, Tim Draper, who was George W. Bush's man in Silicon Valley, a.k.a. Republican liaison, proposed another proposal for splitting California up literally the day after CalExit was announced for coming back. What a coincidence. What a coincidence that the Republicans would mention another plan the second time that CalExit got big in the news. Very interesting. But they're wrong. So when you look at the actual membership data of Yes California, we have about 46,000 members. And when you look at voting patterns in the Hillary Clinton-Donald Trump election. I mean, that was a big election, very decisive, big difference between the candidates. Fresno County, liberal Hillary. Orange County, liberal Hillary. San Diego County, liberal Hillary. Inland Empire, liberal Hillary. Sacramento County, liberal Hillary. When you look at the data between the CalExit membership, there is just as many people interested in CalExit in Fresno, Bakersfield, Stockton, Sacramento, Yuba area, Palm Springs, San Diego, Orange County, as there is on the liberal coastal cities. So I encourage everybody to actually look at the membership data for Yes California, the largest CalExit group, and actually look at the voting data for the last election, which was the contentious one.
Yeah, I think you're always going to... I think that there are people on both the left and the right who want to have more self-governance. And I think every time you have some, just look at what happened with Ukraine. Ukraine left the Soviet Union, or left the Russian Confederacy, I should say. They left Russia, and then Crimea said, no, we want to stay. Yeah, so you always have these types of things, but it can be done peacefully. We saw that with Czechoslovakia. They peacefully decided to go their separate ways. We have a Czech Republic. We have Slovakia. So we're going to continue to talk about that, and we'll talk about Constitutional Convention when we come back. Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Marcos Ruiz Evans. He's with YesCalifornia.org. They're talking about CalExit, and he's, as he pointed out in the last segment, one of three groups that are looking to get independence, more independence over their lives. And we've seen this breaking out all over the world. As he pointed out, there's Scotland, there's Brexit, there's all these different issues. So we're going to talk to him about the method that they're focusing on right now, which is a constitutional convention and the issues associated with that. I'm going to go back to him in just a moment. Real quickly, what funds this operation are the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. BuzzFeed attacked our products. They took them to a lab. They found them, however, to be very effective. So in honor of that, we have created a massive sale at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got a lot of our most popular items have sold out at the discounts that are 50, 55, 66% off of retail, plus free shipping. I want to tell you some of the ones that are still in stock. We still have DNA Force is selling out. It's 20% off, but that is a very expensive premium product. As Alex points out, it takes $30,000 a batch just to get one of these key ingredients in that. So that's a premium product. That's a big savings at 20%. We have Silver Bullet. Colloidal Silver is selling out at 66% off. Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, is selling out at 50% off. We have Secret 12, vitamin B12, 55% off. Survival Shield X2, nascent iodine, 55% off. And we have a big sale on InfoWars Select storable food. 30 to 40% off of InfoWars storable food. Plus, remember, free shipping. And you can get an additional 10% if you use the code GOBLIN. And when we're talking about storable food and preparing for things, it's not just massive chaos or war that we're talking about. Right now, we've got a storm that's building in the Gulf of Mexico. It's going to be the first hurricane, most likely, that we've had hit land in Texas since 2008. They're already evacuating people off of the oil rigs. That's the type of thing that this is very useful for. You always want to prepare for yourself, if it's just a natural disaster that's coming around. Or it could be something like they even call it now, they've got a name for it, the Black Sky Catastrophe. What they're talking about is an EMP, a nuclear weapon that could shut down massive parts of the grid. Or massive grid shutdown could happen just because of equipment failure, and it's very difficult to get it back up. This is very expensive, very rare equipment. If it's a massive, large spread failure, so it can be very difficult to get that up. Just prepare for yourself, whatever it is. It could even be a spike in food prices, and then you're insulated from that. It could, maybe not even a natural disaster, maybe just a spike in food prices. You still can get that at, right now, at massive discounts, free shipping. Just prepare for your family is what we're saying. Whether it's a water filter, an air filter, those are on discount, or just storing up food, getting natural supplements, taking control of your life, making sure that you have clean water, making sure that you're not dependent on water sources that you don't really know what's in it, and then find out later that it's got a lot of lead in it, like the Flint, Michigan situation. After that point, it's a bit late. So be proactive and take care of yourself, take care of your family, and support InfoWars at our store at our InfoWarsStore.com. Right now, we have free shipping store-wide. Let's get back to Marcus Ruiz Evans. Very interesting, this whole idea of secession. I find it very interesting. I find it very important because, quite frankly, if we don't have the ability to have self-governance, Mr. Evans, if we don't have that ability, then we really have a failure of our entire system. And our country, as we point out, was based on secession. You were talking about Scotland and how they have achieved some measure of independence within the UK as Britain went through the procedure to get out of the EU, Brexit. Scotland wanted then to get out of Britain. And we're going to see that type of thing. Every time there's a juggling of political alliances here, then we have a subgroup, just like we saw with Ukraine and Crimea. Ukraine gets out. Crimea says, we want to stay in. And so there's going to be that that's going to happen probably in California. There would probably be that if we had it in Texas. I would imagine maybe Austin would want to stay in and the rest of Texas would get out, because there's differences and political differences that are in regions, and sometimes they can be accommodated, sometimes it can't. But let's talk a little bit about how this would actually work, because with Brexit, they had a procedure as the European Union was created. In the U.S., how does this work? Is this legal? You address that on your website.
Yes. So I just want to point out that real quick that, you know, you look at Scotland, they're not the only one doing it. New Caledonia, Greenland, a lot of countries have broken off and become independent peacefully and legally. So legal and so peaceful, you never even heard about it. When I bring up Greenland and New Caledonia, people are like, what? Yeah, they did it too.
A lot of people. Well, there's a referendum going on right now.
Legally and peacefully do this.
Yeah, there's a referendum that's about to take place with Catalonia and Spain.
Exactly.
Catalonia would like to go. And people don't realize that the...
Let's raise an army. People are saying, I want to vote.
Yeah.
We'll negotiate.
Exactly.
We'll work it out. Yes, there's a lot of contentious issues, but elected officials to elected officials will negotiate. This is happening in Western countries. Now, you go to a destabilized
and
region.
Let me give it, before we go further, let's give one more example, because I think it's important for people to see that this has worked, that it doesn't always result in a war, like the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. In Scandinavia, we have Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark. They have separated, they have joined, they have separated, they have joined. I mean, they've gone through a lot of different permutations, those four countries, over the period of years. They've not had a war over any of that. when Czechoslovakia got out of the Soviet Union. They decided, we're going to split this further. We're going to create the Czech Republic. We're going to create Slovakia. And they did that peacefully. So it can happen, and it's happening in a lot of different places, and a lot of people are asking for their own referendum to have independence, whether it's the one that's coming up in Catalonia or the one that's, in Scotland has been talking about that. So how would this work here in the United States? Here's the key thing that we know. We know that in two places where there's a lot of interest for this, and two states that could make a go of it independently, Texas and California, they have big economies. They have a lot of resources within those economies that they could function separately. And they're all, both of them are sending a net loss of taxes that they send to the federal government. That's also a reason why the federal government would not want to allow this to happen. Because we're cash cows for them, right?
Well, yeah, officials at the federal level would not, but let's be honest about the people in America. Americans are poorly educated and largely ignorant about government and about the foreign world and about California. Most Americans are conservative. When you look at the geographic landmass, most of the 45 states, they're out of 50. And I mean, look at the Trump election, like 45 out of 50 states were conservative. Those people get very low information and they think that California is a drain. They think that they give money to California and California is just this welfare blob that just sucks resources from the federal level. When it's the exact opposite.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that, that California is a net. Yeah, California is contributing a net. It's a drain from California into the federal government. We understand that.
But they don't know
that. Not all of us are conservatives or low information, Marcus. We understand that.
The majority of Americans who would be electing officials to have Congress allow this, Americans, by and large, have an education level equivalent to Turkey and have no concept of the foreign world and are largely ignorant. I mean, Donald Trump won the popular election.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. I would lay that largely at the fault of the government schools. But let's talk about how this would work. Let's talk about the Constitutional Convention, because that's what's different in this particular approach. And I think, we're out of time. And can I get you to stay just a couple of more minutes into the next break? We were just going to do two, but since we didn't get around to this, I do want to talk about the Constitutional Convention, because that's something that is very popular with conservatives, surprisingly or not. They think they can limit it to a particular issue. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about constitutional conventions. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Marcos Ruiz Evans. He's with a group called Yes California. You can find them at yescalifornia.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/YesCalifornia. He's part of the Cal Exit Group. As a matter of fact, there's now three different groups that are pushing for a Cal Exit, a secession of California, or greater independence in terms of their governance. And as we've been talking about this, we've talked about how there have been many incidents of peaceful secession throughout the world where there never was a war, the Scandinavian countries, Czechoslovakia that split peacefully. And we've had this, we've got referendums that are happening in Catalonia. They want to leave Spain. We just saw Brexit that happened. But with Brexit, there was a process. There's not an explicit process that is stated in the Constitution. Our country was born from secession, the Declaration of Independence was a document of secession stating that we have a natural right of self-governance, that we create government to protect our God-given individual rights. And when government becomes destructive of those rights, it is our right and duty to alter or abolish that government and to form new structures that would protect our rights. And so that is a fundamental right that we understand if we understand the foundations of America. So they didn't have a specific procedure in the Constitution. When that right was later exercised, about 80 years later, it turned into a violent civil war, massive destruction on that. And we're now looking at the monuments and the gravestones that are resulted from what today would have been tens of millions of people, if we normalize the population at that time, died in that war relative to today. So if we had the population that was the size than it is today, it would be equivalent to tens of millions of people. So it was a horrific situation. And that's what's in the American memory and the American psyche, that we had a war with the Revolutionary War, that we had another war with secession. But there is a peaceful way to do it. And so I want to talk to Mr. Evans about their plan for how we would go about this peacefully and civilly, as we've seen it done, as I pointed out, many other places in the world. And so, again, joining us is Marcus Ruiz Evans with Yes California. Mr. Evans, let's talk a little bit about the methods that we could move this forward, because I'm very interested in, I think, frankly, that America has gotten so big and so diverse that it is really, we need to start devolving power back to the center. We need to find ways to do it. If it doesn't involve outright secession, we need to be able to have much more local control of our politics. I would support secession. I support it in principle. I support it in practice, quite frankly. But let's talk about in practice how we would move this forward peacefully.
So there's three main points. One is that Thomas Jefferson, who helped build the America as we know it, said America should not extend to the West Coast. He said that when it got there, it'd be too big and there should be a separate government. So Thomas Jefferson said straight up, there should not be a California, Oregon, and Washington connected to America. Straight up. That's a fact. It's called the Pacific Empire. Number two, it is legal to secede. The media will not acknowledge this. They will not acknowledge that there was a Supreme Court case on secession, only one, that it was after the Civil War, that it was called Texas versus White, and that it says you can secede through, quotes, consent of the states. They won't bring up Texas versus White, and they won't mention that a Supreme Court case said you can secede through, quotes, consent of the states. So CalConCon is a third, and all CalExit organizations, CNP, CFC, YesDA, and CalConCon, are fully independent of each other. But CalConCon said, look, if the media is not going to acknowledge that there is a Supreme Court case and that it is the ruling and that it does say consent of the states allows you to leave, although that's not defined, then we're just going to go big and bold. We're going to change the American Constitution so that it's overwhelmingly clearly apparent. And that's why Yes California doesn't exactly endorse everything every CalExit group does. But Yes California, while separate from CalConCon, the group behind Yes California endorsed the CalConCon initiative because it was pushing for making secession more clear and public. It is legal. We can do it. Texas versus White, consent of the states. Nobody's going to acknowledge that. Certainly not American news. They don't want you to be informed of the actual facts. We've been saying this. Nobody will mention it. So we're going to go, look, let's go so stupidly large with changing the Constitution so that you have to pay attention and do it in a way that nobody can deny. That's the whole theory behind CalConCon. I also fourth have to mention that while the American secession movement had Thomas Paine, an immigrant from England, the CalExit movement has an immigrant from England called Claire Hedin, and she is the person to talk to about the CalConCon initiative.
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to talk to her about that. Do you know anything about the procedure that they are talking about in terms of the exit procedure, what they're proposing that they would put forward at a constitutional convention?
The language on that part is very small. Most of the CalConCon initiative says that California is going to go and argue for the government of America having to deal with the crime of climate change crisis. Part of it does say, and it will clear a path towards peaceful secession. How exactly that's going to be, it's not said. It's left up to California officials to go and figure that out. But it's very clear it needs to be simple and clear. Whatever they think is a good way to do that, if that's 15 pages, if that's one page, that's a sentence, fine. Just make it overwhelmingly clear with clear steps that the media and nobody can deny exists. Because right now they won't admit that Texas versus White is the only Supreme Court case. It came after the Civil War, so there is a legal understanding. And it said, you can secede through, quotes, consent of the states.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about the Constitutional Convention because it's become a darling of the right, quite frankly. We've had Mark Levin. We've got former Senator Jim DeMint, who left the Heritage Foundation. He's pushing it quite a bit. We've got Governor Abbott here in Texas talking about a constitutional convention. They're calling for it so that they would say they would put forward a specific amendment, which is, I imagine, you know, what you guys envision as well, that there would be just one issue addressed at that constitutional convention. And this particular one may be the methods of secession. And theirs, they typically are talking about a balanced budget amendment. That's typically what the conservatives want to do. The concern that a lot of people have is that once we call a constitutional convention, that that's going to get out of hand and we're not going to be able to limit it to one thing because there aren't any details for how a constitutional convention is going to be run. And when we look at our politicians, the people who swear to the Constitution and then basically don't pay any attention to it once they get in, those would be the people that would be running the Constitution convention for the most part. Those are the people who we can't really trust to obey what's in the Constitution now. I mean, your comments on that. I'd like to see a formal procedure. If we could make it do this, if we could do this then peacefully. But I just have concerns about constitutional conventions and the people who would run them.
So, yes, conservatives largely support this. That's why some Calexit people suggested that we do it, because the chance of this happening is closer than it's ever been. A lot of states are backing this already. They're about, you know, some estimates are 7 states away. Some are just 3. So it's really close, closer than it's ever been to actually happening. And so we said California needs to get in there. It's not going to be a runaway convention. That is a myth. That is covered on the CalConCon website and Facebook page. That is based upon a bunch of liberals in the 1960s and 70s said, don't have a constitutional convention because it would be a runaway convention. The reason they were doing that was that you had civil rights issues being decided, like the right to abortion. Liberals had passed those through kind of a strong government. They didn't want those overruled. The only way you could get those overruled, because they were backed by the Supreme Court, was a constitutional convention. So liberals needed to shut down conservatives thinking they could have a constitutional convention. They started spreading the fear of a runaway constitutional convention. If you look into it and read the research that's also available at CalConCon, a lot of people have studied this. The idea of a runaway convention didn't appear before the 1960s and 70s. It came up largely from liberals to cut off access to changing social issues by conservatives, and it's largely based upon a myth. There was one constitutional convention. The people that went in there did something that the public didn't tell them to do. That's true. That's how America got created. But that constitutional convention was based upon other conventions that were not runaway. And there's a lot of data to look into that. Forbes has looked into this. A couple of other studies have looked into this. There's not a whole lot of proof that if you have a constitutional convention and your legislators are saying, we represent Illinois, we're going to go there to have car parts.
We're going to have to leave it there. There's a lot to talk about, and we need to get further into that. And I really do agree with you. I mean, we don't agree politically on issues, but I do agree on self-governance. And I wish you luck, and I hope we'll find that. Maybe we'll talk again. Thank you for joining us. And again, you can find that at yescalifornia.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real News with David Knight.
Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight, and we're going to get back to some real news. We're going to talk about Connecticut drowning in debt. And, of course, we've got debt issues in California as well. We're talking about who's paying who. Certainly, there's more money flowing out of California to the federal government than is coming back to them. However, California does have big debt issues because of their big government, big welfare state. Same thing is happening in California. We'll get to that in just a moment. And to the meeting of the world's central bankers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. That's happening right now. As we speak, we'll also take a quick look at the Afghan war and what is behind that. How was that sold by General McMaster to President Trump? You'll be absolutely surprised. Okay, before we do, I want to get to the BuzzFeed Mega Special that is still running at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how we fund our operation. That's how we start the new shows. We have free shipping, massive discounts at InfoWarsStore.com. Let me give you an example of some of these. DNA Force, 20% off. Silver Bullet, 66% off. That's our colloidal silver. Knockout, all natural sleep aid. That is 50% off. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 supplementation, 55% off. You don't have to get those injections. You can get the same effect with the liquid that is easy to take. You just put it under your tongue. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 55% off. InfoWars Select Storable Food, up to 50% off with the coupon code. 30 to 40% off. If you type in the code GOBLIN, you get another 10% and you get free shipping. And just as I mentioned before, we've got a storm that's building right now in the Gulf of Mexico, turning into Hurricane Harvey. It's the first hurricane that's hit land in Texas since 2008. Are you going to prepare for natural disasters? Are you going to prepare for food spikes in the food prices? Are you going to prepare for something really big, like an EMP, as we see things heat up with North Korea? They certainly, I don't think, have the ability to target anything in the United States. If they could get close to us, they could detonate an EMP. That would be something that they could do. That would cause a massive infrastructure catastrophe. Prepare for these types of contingencies. Prepare for clean water and clean air. We have discounts on Alexa Pure Pro water filter, 25% off. Alexa Pure Breeze, 25% off. And everything is free shipping right now at InfoWarsStore.com. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. It's been on, and we're just about sold out of some of our most popular products. Take advantage of that while that is still there. All right, let's take a look quickly at the economic issues, Afghanistan, and the bankers. Drowning in debt, Connecticut faces a budget crunch. And that's the key thing, folks. We see this everywhere we look. When you establish a socialist state, when you try to provide things like single-payer health care like they're doing in California, eventually you're going to bankrupt that state. And you don't have a central bank to start printing money. That's what the feds do. I think it's one of the other reasons why we're going to have such a difficult time breaking free of the clutches of the central government, because the Federal Reserve already has us as their debt slaves. They're not about to let us go. As we look at this meeting that is happening today in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with all the federal, that's not just the Federal Reserve, but it's the central bankers from across the world are meeting there to talk about this. And the headline from Reuters says this: globalization's castaways haunt the central bankers. They're talking about you, folks. You are not the stakeholders that they always like to talk about. You're the people they've driven the stakes through. You are the precariat. That's what they called us at Bilderberg. You are the angry debt slaves with the pitchforks. That's the real reality. The middle America, the middle Britain, the middle of Italy, France, Spain, the people who have borne the brunt of globalization, the people who have seen their lifestyle drop, the people who are angry about this. That's why they call you the precariat. These people, even though they're bankers, they're Marxists. It was a Marxist that funded Lenin. They gave him $10 million and sent him back to start the Russian Revolution. It was central bankers who funded the Russian Revolution. We're going to have the 100th anniversary of that coming up in October. And so you have to understand these people are full on with the rhetoric of that, the proletariat. But they call us the precariat because it's a precarious position to get this many people this angry. And so they're looking at ways that they can placate us. Let's put everybody on welfare. Let's give them a universal basic income. Let's create a slave system like the Indian reservations, where we cut people's ability to earn their living and live independently economically. We put them in a confined area and we restrict what they can do and we make them poor and dependent upon us. That's what's behind universal basic income. And believe me, they're going to be talking about that when they come up. That's the way they see shutting down this whole situation. But how are they getting what they want with the Trump administration? That's the key thing. And this is pretty amazing. Let's get that clip ready of Dr. Strangelove. Because you know what I'm talking about? How did they sell this U-turn to Donald Trump? I mean, did they hold a gun to his head? Did they, Lionel was saying yesterday, wasn't it interesting that as they were leaning on him to reverse himself in Afghanistan, they were talking about how they just didn't have the Secret Service budget to protect him and his family? Message received. Okay? You don't have to be too much more explicit about that. You mean you can't find the budget to pay for Secret Service? Oh, they got $600 toilet seats in their jets for the, you know, the Pentagon people, but they can't find the money for Secret Service protection. We understand what that's about. But maybe they came in and they did a soft sell. Maybe they marketed it to him. You know, you got, remember that scene? Let's play that from Dr. Strangelove, where you got George C. Scott as General Buck Sturgis, and he's telling the president how, hey, we can win this nuclear war. Maybe it was something like this in Afghanistan.
You wouldn't quit. Can't you stick to the point, General?
Well, sir, if the pilot's good, see, I mean, if he's really sharp, he can barrel that baby in solo. I mean, you ought to see it sometime. It's a sight. A big plane, like a 52, room. This jet exhaust, frying chickens in the barnyard.
Yeah, but has he got a chance?
Has he got a chance? Yeah, well,
yeah, he could get through and he could drop that nuclear bomb and that could set off the doomsday device and blow us all up. Yeah, that's the whole thing. But that, maybe it was something like that. You know, he kind of reminds me of General Buck Sturgis, H.R. McMaster. But here's what he did, according to the Washington Post. So consider the source. I don't know if this is true or not, but it's kind of interesting. They're saying that McMaster showed Trump a photo of Afghan women in miniskirts to escalate the war. Or maybe we could say to elevate the war, if they're miniskirts, or hike it up. I don't know. But what they did was they showed him, pull up that picture. They showed him a picture. Now, we don't know if this is true. We don't know if this is the picture that they showed. But this is a picture that we got in one of these articles, if you guys can pull that up, of Afghanistan in 1972. Black and white picture. It's in one of the articles of these women who have miniskirts. They're not real short miniskirts. They're about halfway up. There we go. And just above the knee, a few inches or whatever. You want to call that a miniskirt. And they say, this is 1972. You know who was controlling Afghanistan in 1972? Are we going to sell Western values here? Afghanistan in 1972 was controlled by the Soviet Union. Not even Russia. The Soviet Union. They were in control of Afghanistan. And so they had people walking around like that. Before the Taliban took over, we helped the Taliban to take over. We created the Mujahideen. We created Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda came out of the Mujahideen, right? And now we have funded and created ISIS. We created the chaos that allows them to do the regime changes, and we create and fund these organizations. And so did McMaster show a miniskirt picture to Donald Trump? Was that the way that he sold it? Was he telling him the idea that, hey, this is what the future could hold. Let me give you an image of this. Just think of a Miss Afghanistan in a Miss Universe contest. Wouldn't that be great? Why, yeah, sure, I'll join into that. You got to have something there where they turn him around. I don't know what caused him to go against not only his instinct, but his intellect. He's been saying for 6 years, we're not going to do that. There is no plan to win that. 4,000 troops, as Dr. Pechenik pointed out yesterday, 4,000 troops are a drop in the bucket. It didn't work when we had 150,000 troops. We have never won an unconventional war of occupation. And when these people debate the rules of engagement and they say, well, we don't want to tie the hands of troops on the ground. Sure, I understand. We don't want to tie the troops on the ground. And the other side says, but we don't want to have excessive collateral damage because that gets the people upset with us. You don't fight a war that way. If it's a real war, you don't worry about that. You kill all the Germans and take over the country, and then you leave. But what we have now is a war of occupation. As we pointed out yesterday, we have lithium there. We have poppy seeds there that they can use to make opium. And now we have an opioid epidemic here in the United States because we've been there for 16 years, and we have created bumper crops, and we've now got 95% or more of the world's opium production is coming out of Afghanistan. I wonder who's bringing that to the U.S. Would it be the CIA? Would it be the same people who brought the crack cocaine epidemic to the United States to sell their war in Central America? Yeah, the U.S. government. That's what we're there for. All right, stay with us. Alex Jones is coming up on the Real Alex Jones radio broadcast starting right now. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Knight with Real News. We'll be right back.